necessarily amateurs. Wheeler emphasizes that people need to have humility, imagination, and daring in their approach to research. Sometimes the greatest breakthroughs in science happen because someone had the courage to recognize and speak out loud what others have turned a blind eye towards. Wheeler comments, "Here's where it is so important to talk with the young people. Some modest young person comes along with some idea no one else is paying attention to. His idea may just be the central point." Sometimes amateurs are better able to sift the essential from the non-essential. Not just a world-renowned physicist, Wheeler was also legendary for his teaching style. As impossible it is to list all of his scientific achievements, many physicists consider Wheeler's most substantial contribution to be as a teacher. To quote one of his students, physicist Chuk-Yin Wong, Wheeler's class teaching was in the style of the old masters. He often would come to class without notes and would begin his gentle and deliberate narration step by step from memory, writing down the concepts and formulas in detail and explaining the thinking that was needed at each step, as if he was thinking aloud. In the process, we students could observe how a great mind was at work, as if pulling out the thread of the silk continuously from a cocoon. On a few occasions, he might get stuck in the middle of the narration and would stop in front of the blackboard. We students would wait eagerly to see how he would resolve the difficult points in question. A short pause later, he would resume and march on to get the key concepts across. He was well known for drawing pictorial representations of objects that were informative, complex, and often with philosophical implications. In Wheeler's opinion, the real reason universities have students is to educate the professors, rather than the other way around. Wheeler felt that after teaching, writing was the next best way to learn something, which certainly caught my attention. To quote Wheeler, "In order to be educated by the students, one has to put good questions to them. You try out your questions on the students. If there are questions that the students get interested in, then they start to tell you new things and keep you asking more new questions. Pretty soon, you have learned a great deal." To quote Feynman, who like Wheeler was also a renowned teacher, "In order to make progress, one must leave the door to the unknown ajar." When we encounter the unknown, it touches upon the realm of the unconscious and is sure to inspire a multiplicity of reactions and mistakes. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. Wheeler thinks of a genius as someone who makes as many mistakes as they can as quickly as possible so as to progress along their path of research. Our capacity to err and make mistakes is intrinsic to the process by which we learn and evolve. Feynman says, "We are trying to prove ourselves as wrong as quickly as possible, because only in that way can we find progress." When asked what equipment he needed when he moved into his new office at Princeton's Institute for Advanced Studies, Einstein replied, "A large wastebasket, so I can throw away all my mistakes." Feynman agreed that one of the biggest and most important tools of theoretical physics is the wastebasket. If we knew what it is we were doing, it would not be called research. If we avoid error, we do not live. Because so many young physicists are forced to specialize in one way or another, Wheeler was of the opinion that the most radical and crazy-seeming research in physics can only be done by an old fogey who can afford to make a fool of himself. Wheeler was more than willing to take this risk, saying, "If I don't, who will?" Niels Bohr professed that he always approached every new question from a starting point of total ignorance. Taking his lead from his mentor Bohr, who felt that he was always an amateur, Wheeler thinks of true pioneers as necessarily amateurs. Bohr and Wheeler's point of view puts into a new perspective what it means to be an expert, authority, or professional. To quote Feynman, "I never pay any attention to anything by experts." This sounds similar to what in Zen Buddhism is called beginner's mind, which is a mind free of the habits of the expert, open to all possibilities. This brings us to a revised definition of an expert, which no longer means someone who knows almost everything about their field, but rather knows from their own bitter experience almost all possible mistakes in their field and how to avoid them. Wheeler felt that we needed daring conservatism in pursuing physics. Revolutionary daring must be balanced by conservative respect for the past, keeping what is valid from the past while boldly extrapolating existing theories to their outer limits. In any case, the ever-emerging discoveries of quantum physics are thirsting for the next generation of daring thinkers to further unfold their deeper meaning. For daring and gallantry are needed in science, as in battle. To quote Dan Golden, the chief of the National Aeronautics Space Agency, "If we don't dare to dream, we won't find anything. Dreams are how the most exciting science happens."